Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Some good candidates here. Here's one. Mark, if Pat Shurmur is being sent to these pro days, does it mean no on that QB? What's the message being sent when Pat Shurmur's the one going to these second pro days? Second one for Justin Fields, second one for Trey Lance.
Yeah, that's a good question, Mike. I think that that's a, you know what? I hadn't really thought about it.
I think it's just eyewash. That's all it is. This is just optics. Because there was no combine this year, these pro days have taken on exponential attention. Not importance. Notice I didn't say importance, but just exponential attention. And I think there is something to the idea that from the optics standpoint, it's important to show that you are there.
Correct.
And
to show that you still, there's still potential interest.
You're putting your work in. You're doing your due diligence. Come on. Do you really think George Payton at this point hasn't made up his mind whether he likes or doesn't like a quarterback?
Yeah.
Do you think anything is going to change? The only reason I could think that Pat Shurmur's there is just, hey, you know, Pat, go talk to some of your other coaching buddies in the fraternity and just come back to me and tell me what you're hearing.
Right.
You know,
report. I just wonder, like, is it, I always think that the Niners got their trade stuff, the parameters of their trade done. I think it was at Mac Wilson's pro day where they actually had those conversations.
Are you trying to give me an oh, really? Is it Mac
Zach
Jones
Wilson
or Zach Wilson?
Yeah, Zach Wilson.
Instead, it's Mac Wilson.
Yeah, Zach Wilson's.
Or was it at Mac Fields' pro day?
It could have been Mac anybody.
Right.
Mac the Knife. Anyhow, at Zach Wilson's pro day, I think they got the parameters. They started having the discussions. Like, it's not like you can't have discussions on the phone, right? So, is this one of those, again, I'm not showing up because we have plans to move up and I don't want people to know that we're having those discussions? Or is this one of those, we really aren't in the market for a quarterback, so I'm not going to waste my time showing up to these pro days? Like, I just feel like this is further evidence that they have, as you have said, made up their mind. They're not moving up for a quarterback. Now, if one shows up at 9, they'll discuss it. But my thought is they're not moving up. The odds are they're either picking at 9 or trading back would be the two bigger scenarios.
But moving up to 7 wouldn't, if you're going to get a quarterback, you will have to probably, and you're willing to move up.
Mm-hmm.
Is going from 9 to 7 that big of a deal if Detroit wants to move? I mean, it's really not. I get that you don't want to give up the draft capital that might go with going from 9 to 4. But 9 to 7?
Is a swap in what, a second rounder?
Probably. If you really like a guy.
Right.
So the when they say, well, you know, they're willing to trade up. Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about going from 9 to 7, I don't think that's
right.
That isn't something that you should say, oh, no way, too rich for my blood.
No, I understand that, but what kind of work have you gotten done? Like, if you follow the history of George Payton and the Minnesota Vikings, what kind of work have you gotten done in the second round?
How valuable is that second round pick?
That's what I'm asking you. You know, starting offensive line. Ezra Cleveland, second rounder. Brian O'Neill, second rounder. Dalvin Cook, second rounder.
Yep.
Let's see. Eric Kendricks, second rounder. Hunter, Daniel Hunter, third rounder.
But it comes down to whether or not he likes Justin Fields, right? Unless these tea leaves that we're reading are entirely wrong, it would appear it's going to be Mac Jones to San Francisco.
Yeah, I read a report that Justin Fields is off the board in San Francisco. They don't like him.
Really?
Yes. That was from, I think, a Bleacher Report.
Interesting.
So then it came down to Jones, and it came down to
Lance. But see, Lance doesn't make sense under the scenario you talked about earlier, which made a lot of sense, is that, hey, this is a 49er team that's built to win now.
Right.
They have all the pieces in place, but what did they decide? They decide that Jimmy Garoppolo is unreliable from a health standpoint,
right,
and they have the recollection of the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter where if he makes just a couple of throws, they win the Super Bowl. And they've decided that Jimmy Garoppolo can't take them to a Super Bowl. So if they are in win-now mode, why would they draft a guy that's not going to help you for 2 years?
Right. They're looking at this like, hey, Jimmy Garoppolo will be our guy. He'll help the young quarterback along the way. And if Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt, we're going to have to rely on that young guy to play.
Right. For a team that's built to win right now. That's got to be Mac Jones or Justin Fields.
And the report, like I said, the Bleacher Report that I read yesterday was it's not Justin Fields. They don't have interest. So it just comes down to, I think if that report is in fact true,
right,
then it's got to be Mac Jones.
Okay. So let's say we're assuming it's Mac Jones. Then Lance makes sense for a team that maybe has already got a quarterback, but wants to
Atlanta number
roll
four.
The dice on, you know, potential greatness down the road.
Yeah.
Maybe Atlanta at number four.
And think about what they've been able to do under Arthur Smith, where they've had, come on now, their top receiver was a second rounder. They let go of the guy they took fifth overall a couple of years ago in Corey Davis. He left and went, I think, to the Jets. So, I mean, you think about how that offense has been built. Take Ryan Tannehill, who's been a cast off who failed, and develop an offense around him where we run the snot out of the ball, we control the line of scrimmage, and we use a lot of that RPO, use our quarterback as a run threat, keep him to 24 to 25 attempts per game, and we're going to win a lot of football games. Could Lance be that guy in Atlanta once Matt Ryan is done? Like, that could be it.
So unless Trey Lance has an awful day today, which I, these pro day reporting has been hilarious. Everyone's breath is like, he's just making throws you just don't see. Honestly, if you just put all these pro days together and you didn't know who they were going in, who these prospects were, and you just like did like a blind, I'm just watching these pro, you, there's no difference. There's no difference. It's why, was it Kuiper said he hates pro days? You get nothing out of pro days. You've had evaluators say you get nothing out of these pro days.
Right.
So anyway, it feels to me like this is what it really is coming down to. Here's what it's coming down to. Justin Fields is going to be available if you want to move up to seven to get him. At the earliest. Okay.
Unless Detroit looks at it and says, we want him.
Maybe. Okay. But what I'm saying is that if you want Fields and Detroit's willing to trade, you're going to be able to move up from 9 to 7 and get him. Or you're going to be able to get him at 9. My point is I'm just specifically talking about Justin Fields here. If you want Justin Fields, he shouldn't be too hard to get.
Mm-hmm. If he's your guy.
If you right. like Justin Fields, he should not be too hard to get.
Okay.
You like Justin Fields?
Not that much. I mean, do I like him? Yeah. Tell me where I'm at. Who am I? Do I like him for the Broncos at 9? No. I don't. Why? Because there's too much work to do. And, oh, by the way, do you think that Justin Fields covers the warts of this franchise? No. That might he have the potential to cover warts down the road? Maybe. But right now, as currently constructed, no. I don't think so. I just think there's a lot of work to do to, again, build this franchise into a franchise where let's say that in Seattle, okay, we were talking about Russell Wilson. We've talked about him a lot this offseason. He's not happy for whatever reason. Okay? Not happy. He gave you 4 franchises in which he would like to go to. He gave you the Cowboys. He gave you Chicago. He gave you New Orleans. And there was one other franchise, I believe, that he gave that he said he would
go to. Did you say the Raiders?
Raiders. Yeah. Okay. So let's say that
Mr. Unlimited. Yeah,
let's say that Mr. Unlimited continues to have philosophical differences with Pete Carroll, and eventually he wins out. Are your opportunities to get Mr. Unlimited to come in here and take you to championship, make you a championship contender, are your opportunities for something like that to happen better with a complete roster, i.e. Tampa Bay, where Brady just fits himself in and wins a championship, or by drafting another quarterback in which you can't support? I mean, again, we have had in recent history more success by having one of those work covers mm-hmm. than we have in picking guys along the way.
Fair point.
All I'm saying is, once again, is there are two distinctly different philosophical approaches. My belief, if you look at the history of Arizona, you look at the history of Cincinnati, you look at the history of Cleveland, you look at the history of the New York Jets, you look at the history of those teams, kicking the can down the road, taking another quarterback. Like, one of the things I've heard is, hey, man, here's the deal with Jets fans getting after me, right? Here's the deal, Jets fans, here's what we're doing. Now we've reset the clock again. Did you reset the clock in 2018 when you got Sam Darnold and you screwed that up? Well, different GM, different head coach now, different owner. Oh, yeah, because the halcyon days of Woody Johnson as opposed to Chris Johnson. Woo! Oh, yeah, all those championships you won when Woody Johnson was running the show as opposed to, as opposed to Donald Trump's consigliere or whatever he is to some foreign... Whatever.
I think it was Ireland, wasn't it?
Ireland.
It was Ireland, yeah.
He's over there drinking Guinness.
But now, I'm not interested in Justin. I'm not interested in a quarterback at 9. Big surprise. But I do find myself feeling sympathetic to Justin Fields. Like, I was driving in today and on ESPN's morning show, they were talking about, I can't remember who they were talking with, but they were talking about how, well, there's some concern out there about Justin Fields based on his Northwestern game. And in that game, the Big Ten championship game, he was 12 of 27 for 114 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and 3 sacks. Not a good game.
Right.
But then I'm like, okay, it was the Big Ten championship game. Big Ten championship game. Tell me how many big games Trey Lance has played in over the last couple of years.
Right.
Find me one opponent that Trey Lance has played that's even in the same ballpark as Northwestern.
What was the score of that Big Ten championship game?
Ohio State won 22-10.
Right. Now, I remember watching that game, right? And they couldn't stop Ohio State's running game. It, your issue that you get into and why, now I haven't broken it down, but when you have that kind of statistical anomaly in a game, from a talent standpoint, player for player at every position, you're more talented than Northwestern.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not close. So then you start to look at what did they do to take things away? How did they confuse you? Why did they have the success against your passing game? Well, I mean, does the game, let me ask you this, does the game that Patrick Mahomes had against Tampa in the Super Bowl make him a bad quarterback? Or did you just come up against a defense that had a great game plan for you and you wouldn't, because of football hubris, you wouldn't take advantage of the things they were giving you? At least Ohio State's coaching staff said, oh, okay, they're going to make this tough on us throwing the ball and they're going to drop, you know, they're going to drop eight all the time and they're going to, you know, like, they're taking away all these things and they're getting depth on the line. We're just going to gut them in the running game.
Mm-hmm.
At least they had the intelligence to do that, right? Where, but it doesn't make Mahomes a bad quarterback.
It's just so funny how potential and the sort of like, you know, it's like when you look outside after a fresh snowfall, everything's clean.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's pristine, right? I mean, that's Trey Lance. That's Zach Wilson. You know, you look at it, Justin Fields. Yeah, I mean, it just snowed and over there it looks beautiful, but you know, over here it looks like it got plowed up a little bit and you know, the dog's been out.
Right.
Don't eat the yellow snow, right? And is that where we're at? It's like, well, Justin Fields threw two interceptions in that Northwestern game. Trey Lance hasn't done anything.
Right.
But the potential. You know, Zach Wilson and Justin and Trey Lance owe a huge debt of gratitude to Josh Allen. Seriously. Because, sure. You know, I know a lot of people right now are saying, I told you so with Josh Allen. Don't give me that. Okay, there were so many question marks with Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming. Now, to his credit, the guy has proven him wrong. That's all on him. But let's not kid ourselves and delude ourselves into saying there weren't serious questions about him coming out of the draft. There were. But what he's done, being a kid from Wyoming who's come in and done really well in the NFL, it's now allowed teams to look at Zach Wilson and especially Trey Lance to say, hey, if it worked with Josh Allen, it can work with these guys. Had Josh Allen not worked out, do you think Trey Lance is going in the top 10? Do you think Zach Wilson's going number 2?
Yeah.
No way.
And what did I tell
you?
What did I tell you in regards to Josh Allen when he was coming out of Wyoming? One, he played, like, I gave him all kinds of props because one, you're playing at Wyoming. One, it's a wind tunnel. Two, you play a pro style offense. Three, you can't get the kind of players to come to Wyoming, right? I mean, from a wide receiver standpoint, a tight end standpoint. So what do you have to do? I mean, you're playing, you know, everybody said, well, you play lesser competition. Yeah, well, you have less good players around you. And so I will always advocate for the small school guys because of the way small school guys, you know, because of the lack of talent around small school guys. So I will always say, I don't look at that like a lot of people. Well, he didn't play against great competition. I don't look at that way. I really don't. I think that oftentimes it's an advantage. Not every time, but a lot of times it is.
Because if Josh Allen doesn't work out, you know what evaluators are saying right now? You know, if asked about Zach Wilson or Trey Lance, they're like, hey, we should have learned our lesson with Paxton Lynch. We definitely learned it with Josh Allen. Talented, mobile, comes out of a smaller school, question the competition a little bit.
Yeah.
Didn't work out with Paxton. And by the way, while we're spitting out truth here, don't think that the debacle that was Paxton Lynch didn't play a role in the Broncos' hesitancy when it came to Josh Allen.
Oh, of course it did.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, again, if you are somebody who's like, you know, bemoaning the fact that they didn't draft Josh Allen, you know who to blame for that.
Right.
Paxton Lynch. You had another reason to smear Paxton.
So
he cost you Josh Allen.
Essentially, Paxton Lynch ruined two potential quarterbacks.
Himself.
Ruined his own career.
Right.
And he ruined the potential of getting Josh Allen here.
Correct. See, this is why you can't just say, draft a quarterback, and if he doesn't work out, oh well, move on to the next one.
Right.
There are ramifications. There are consequences. Not only because the quarterback you draft, if he doesn't work out, you're investing at least 3 years into him. Okay? That's mm-hmm. 3 years that's wasted. Then, in this case, you either jump back into the quarterback pool or you're scared away from a potential quarterback that you might like, but you talk yourself out of him because we just came off this mistake. And what happens if we're drafting a guy that fits the same kind of profile and he doesn't work out either? Now we really look stupid. And if you don't, how many times have I joked with you that more coaches coach on what could go wrong rather than what could go right?
Oh, sure, all the time.
Okay, well, that.
Right.
That was part of, I guarantee you that was the driving force in how the Broncos chose not to be in on Josh Allen. They didn't want to go through the Paxton road again.
Most NFL franchises are more concerned with what a guy can't do than what he can do. And they focus on the can't as opposed to the can. And they lose an opportunity to get a exceptional player that could fit a role. And that's how the league has gone so much more to role type players. Especially on the defensive side of the ball. Especially there, right? So if you're still stuck in the, well, he can't do this. You know, because if you looked at, for instance, Chris Harris Jr., who made a phenomenal career for himself. But if you really evaluated Chris coming out, there's a reason he was a college free agent, right? Doesn't quite run fast enough. Isn't quite, you know, like he's not quite all these things, right? He can't do this. He's not tall enough. He does not long enough. He doesn't run at elite enough speed. But what you didn't look at was how unbelievable he is in change of direction, quick, like short burst area stuff. And he became one of the best slot corners that we've seen in this league over the last decade plus.
Let's get some more text here. No QB at 9. I'm fine. But they sure as heck better not pull another 2017 and move down when Devin Bush was sitting right there for us. And here it is 4 years later, and we're still looking for a linebacker. If Micah Parsons is there, they better not pass on him. You know what? If they are really, truly, if George Payton is really.
I think that was 19 where they moved down on Bush, right?
Yeah, it wasn't 2017.
Yeah, 2019.
If they truly, if George Payton truly is willing and really wants to give Vic Fangio every opportunity to show he can be the guy here. I mean, he's clearly done that. Look at all the moves on defense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bring back Vaughn. Go get.
Yeah.
You know, Kyle Fuller and Darby, all that stuff. He's giving him a chance. Then if he really is committed to doing that, draft a linebacker. Because, come on, what every great Vic Fangio defense has had really good linebackers. And you come on, don't you suspect that over the last couple of years, Vic Fangio has really, I don't know if he's pounded the table for it, but do you think when asked, he's like, boy, I'd really like a linebacker.
I'd like a linebacker that can just difference maker, an eraser inside. That's what I want. I want an eraser inside. Yeah, absolutely. I think he's wanted one of those guys. Hasn't been able to get one. Now you got an opportunity.
Guys, I don't know why you're down on Trey Lance. Mac Jones and Lance have the same number of college starts.
Okay, you want to do that? You want to play that game? So 17 starts at North Dakota State is the same as 17 starts at Alabama?
Son of a b***h dug in like an Alabama tick.
Good point. Although I have been the champion of the small school guy.
Guys, I just heard Zach Bye's prediction on Juwan James. I almost crashed. Yes, in case you missed it, Zach is predicting a Garrett Bowles-type turnaround for Juwan James.
Now, this is the same Zach Bye who jinxed the Nuggets when he said they wouldn't lose another game in the next game.
Well, now,
hello, Jinx.
In fairness to my man Zach.
I'm not sure I'm concerned with fairness, but go on.
How many times have we, when a team is red hot, have we thrown out the cliche statement, they may never lose again?
Jinxie, no!
Never.
It's not.
I've never said they may never lose again.
Oh, come on. You've never said jokingly, oh, wow, they're red. They may never lose again. Of course they're going to. I mean, it's like. Everybody knows they're going to lose again at some point.
So you're saying, oh, that was just a joke.
It was kind of a...
I thought it was a prediction. Prediction.
And I know. One Jinxie cat, allegedly.
Mm-hmm. To another.
Defending another Jinxie cat,
right.
Allegedly. I get it. It's not a good look.
Okay.
If I'm Zach, I'd like the endorsement to come from someone else other than me. But,
Okay, yeah, so as long as you're saying he was just joking around.
Yeah, I think he was just... joking around. They may never lose again. I don't think he really believed they will never lose again.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, that's okay. It still is a little bit tempting the
basketball gods.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you might be right.
Yeah.
The thing with Juwan James, though, is that here's at least what he has going for him. If Juwan James is out, if you tell me that Juwan James is going to play 16 games.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're talking about fearless predictions. If you're going to tell me Juwan James will play 16 games,
okay,
I predict he'll be a Pro Bowler.
Okay, that seems a little bit tough.
Well, wait, but why? What's the one thing we know about Juwan James? When he plays, granted, it's limited, but he plays well. So if you're telling me he's going to be out there 16 weeks,
okay,
then I'm confident he will play very well. The question is just, will he be out there 16 games? I mean, with Garrett Bowles, what was the one thing people were saying about Bowlesy even while he was racking up holding calls? Mm-hmm. Well, at least he's out there. He's durable. You know? He doesn't miss games. He's out there every play. Now it's just a matter of whether or not he can play. But with James, we know he can play. Now it's just a matter of being available. So, I'd much rather take my chances on the guy that I know can play. Now can he just be available versus the guy that I know will be available and question whether or not he'll ever figure out how to play.
All right. Well, I'm just telling you there's to really make the Pro Bowl team in the AFC, Mike, there's three guys. So you're telling me that there aren't three other guys that are going to get more votes than him? You got one on the opposite side that made a name for himself last year. Didn't go to the Pro Bowl, by the way.
Oh, they only take three tackles?
Three tackles.
Total.
All right. I'm not talking about the sixth alternate.
All right. So how about this? If you tell me he plays 16 games, he will be one of the top three right tackles in the AFC.
Top three right tackles.
Right tackles.
Yeah, okay. Maybe.
Would you take that?
No, I would vote against that. I would go head to head with you. I would go the opposite way.
Okay, but would you take one of the top three? Would you take him as one of the top three right tackles? And would you be happy with that? Of course you would.
But
you don't think he could be one of the top three
tackles? No.
If he plays 16 games, you don't think he'll be one of the top three tackles in football?
No. Not necessarily.
Top five?
Let's I think we need to slow our roll a little bit, but maybe.
Okay. All right.
Maybe in there.
All right. All right then. Okay. Coming up, Mark had a chance to spend some time with Drew Locke the other day. Tell you about his conversation with Drew next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
So on Thursday, last Thursday, you had an opportunity to host an event.
Yes, I did.
No doubt shaking your moneymaker.
Oh, it's a great folks over at Body Armor.
Right.
Goodness
charity
of my heart.
Charitable soul that Mark Schlereth.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you had a chance to host an event virtually with Drew. And I'm not looking for you to break news here, but what were some of the observations you took away from it?
No, just, listen, I'm not trying to break news or I would never talk out of turn. The work that is going in this off season that we have talked about. We have talked about, are you aware kind of your surroundings? And absolutely, you know exactly where you are as the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. You know the tenuous position that you are in. And the bottom line is, and here's what I love about being an athlete. Here's what I love about athletics in general, Mike, is that guys love to compete. You don't get to where Drew Locke is in life, or you don't get to where, where you're a professional athlete if you don't love the competition. You're challenged by the competition. I think a lot of guys, Mike, in life in general, athletes, really struggle once they leave athletics because the rest of the world doesn't necessarily operate like that. I mean, ultimately, we talk about this all the time with athletics. It's the ultimate meritocracy. I mean, how many guys do you see that are low-round guys or free agent guys or whatever that are willing to put the grind in, compete, and win jobs and then end up having great careers? So, you love that part, and it doesn't necessarily always work that way in the real world. So, I mean, that's a... I think guys have a tough time dealing with that. But the bottom line is, I get a great sense that Drew Locke is, he's taking it as a challenge. He's putting in the time. And I think it's exciting also that for the first time in your life as a quarterback, you're going to be in the same offense you already were in. And you're going to, I understand that nobody wants to go in. They want it to all be virtual and everything like that. But eventually they're going to be on the field and you're going to get those reps and you're going to get those opportunities to grow with some of your players. I think that's going to happen. So I think all these things point to a good direction for Drew Locke.
Good. Cause I want it to work out for Drew Locke, whether it's here, I hope it's here, but right. You don't root for a guy's career to just, die on the vine. So
no.
I hope it works out, but I'm glad. I really am truly glad that your impressions after talking to him the other day is that he truly understands what he's up against, that he truly understands that his Bronco career, his NFL career is at a crossroads as to whether or not is he going to go down the path of being the guy for a franchise, or is he going to go down the path where, he becomes the next, Jeff Driscoll, will move around and be somebody's backup because he's athletic and this and that. And the fact that he understands that is good because last year, 1 year ago at this time, well, almost 1 year ago at this time, because we hadn't had the draft yet. But once the draft was over, what was said? Broncos won the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
They got all this speed.
Right.
They're ready to challenge the Chiefs.
They got the, this is the offense that will be the next big offense to watch in the NFL by, you know, 2024 or so. Drew Lock is a dark horse MVP candidate. Right. Drew Lock is the next quarterback that's going to pop. All this stuff was being said a year ago. And just like it's human nature that he can't help but hear what's being said about him this offseason, he couldn't help but hear what was being said about him last offseason. And there's no doubt that this was a guy who thought he was the guy. And don't tell me that that didn't affect the way he went out and prepared for that season. And then add in not sure. having an offseason, add in the first year with a new offensive coordinator. But come on, you can't tell me, just based on human nature the way it is, you can't tell me he had the same kind of urgency a year ago that he has right now.
It is impossible in this day and age to not hear the noise.
Right.
It's so different than, you know, when I was coming up. Just so different. I mean, when I was coming up, you didn't have social media. You talked to your coaches. You know, you saw the other players. That's really what it was. Now, I mean, it's impossible not to hear all that noise and all the chirping and all the things that are being said about you. It's virtually impossible.
The great Sandy Clough once told me a long time ago, and it is words that I have, a belief that I've stuck with. You cannot manufacture desperation.
Bow chicka bow wow.
You can't. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about it like during during an Avalanche playoff run. You know what? They were playing Detroit. They were up, 3-1 or 2-0, whatever it was. And they came out and they lost.
Right.
And they ended up losing the series. And it was like, why couldn't they understand the situation? Why couldn't they understand they had a stranglehold on the series and go off and finish him? And say at that point, I think it was an Avalanche Red Wing series. He said, you can't manufacture desperation.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk yourself into thinking you're desperate. Doesn't matter. Unless you're truly desperate, you can't manufacture it. Drew wasn't desperate last offseason. Now he is. Real desperation. See how he handles it.
I had a conversation with the late, great Mike Heimerdinger when Mike went to Tennessee to be the offensive coordinator. Steve McNair in that offense. And we were just having a conversation. And he goes, you can't play 16 weeks on adrenaline. Same type of thing. Right? You can win a game on adrenaline. You can walk into a buzzsaw situation, but see, you can't do it 16 weeks in a row. Same type of thing. You can't manufacture that desperation. You can have one of those games that's your all-time game, but eventually you play in 16 weeks, the cream rises to the top, right, so to speak.
The beauty with Drew now, and we'll get to break real quick here, Benny. The good thing is that a year ago, not only did I question whether or not he had what it takes and understood what it takes to play quarterback, but I didn't know whether or not he really wanted to put in the work necessary.
Right.
The good news is at this point, I have no doubt that he's putting in the work. I don't worry about that. So now the only question left for him is, can he figure it out?
All right.
He'll put the work in.
I can guarantee you, and I'm just, yeah, that's Drew's news. It's not my news to break. I'm not Julie McCoy. But let me just assure you that the work is getting done. Okay? There is a lot
of
work.
Sure, the work is getting done? Hold on. Let me check Dalton Reisner's Twitter. Yes. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up, we'll get to some more of your texts, including what statement will the Broncos and other NFL players be making today when they stay away from work? That's next. Okay, to summarize what's happening around the NFL today, including here with the Broncos. Today is the first day of voluntary off-season workouts.
Correct.
Strength and conditioning. 20 teams have decided to boycott these workouts, but they're not all, you know, painted with the same brush, okay? Some teams are choosing a complete team boycott.
Okay.
Other teams are saying, hey, a number of people will be boycotting, but a number of players will still be attending. They have off-season workout bonuses that they want to collect. We're cool with that. Mark, my question is, are you really sending much of a message if it's that fractured, if it's that diluted?
It's always been, listen, one, it's always been that diluted. It's always been that fractured. We have never had complete and total participation from a players association standpoint. And because of the collective bargaining agreement goes all the way back to 2011, that you created the rookie wage scale where you negotiated for guys who don't have a voice and screwed them. You have continued to create this class separation in the NFL. You got the haves versus the, you know, what you pay the rest of the guys, the essentially rookie scale. And so that's what you've created. And because you've fallen into it, like you fell into the classic trap. I mean, the owner set you up for the trap and then you just went, like, I mean, it's a big chartreuse worm, right? Floating around like, wow, I've never seen that color worm before. You're just like the dumbest fish in the pond, but boy, does it look delicious. I'll bite it, right? Next thing you know, you've been hooked. So that's where they are. I did appreciate the fact that DeMaurice Smith essentially didn't use COVID as some excuse. He just basically said, we don't want to work out. We don't want to come in. We'd like to do it virtually. Our players are exercising their rights. They're standing up to whatever degree they can stand up.
I read the quote because it's so telling. This is DeMaurice Smith, the head of the NFLPA. After all we heard last week was, whoa, COVID protocol, safety, da-da-da-da. Here's what the head of the union said. Quote, we've known for years that this is a voluntary workout where a lot of coaches put their finger on the scale, and while they call it voluntary, they expect players to show up. I think that what you're seeing now is for the first time players exercising their voice. Or one of the first times people exercising their voice to say no. And frankly, it's probably one of the few times that coaches have ever heard players say no. Any mention of COVID protocols?
No.
None.
No.
Okay, this is just
zero.
This is just the players just desperately trying to get some sense that they have a say.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're winning one. After years of just getting their heads and their lunch handed to them by the owners. By the way, I got a text from somebody who said, I think it's cute you guys say the players are getting beat over the head by the owners. I wish somebody would beat me over the head with millions of dollars, poor SOBs. Can't look at it that way, Texter.
Right.
You got it. Yeah, the average Joe out there is saying, pfft. You're telling me all I have to do is go and work out and I'll get paid for it? Maybe even a bonus for it? Wow. So hard. But you got to try to find a way to live in their world. And if I'm an NFL player, I look at the other sports and I'm jealous. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm ashamed. Why are those leagues? Why are those athletes? Why are they taken care of so much better than we are? Why is their voice heard so much more than ours are? That's what this is about. This isn't about them, you know, walking around feeling like they're being taken advantage of compared to, it's just they look around at other sports and they're like, man, why can't we have some power like that?
Out of the top 100 shows on television, top 100 rated shows on television last year, 67 of them were NFL games. There was not one that was another sporting event.
No.
Not baseball, not basketball, not hockey. Certainly not soccer. And so, I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. And that's why the players, I get why you're frustrated. But this is where we sit. And I understand, like, people will never understand the sacrifice you have to make, the work that has to be put in, the injuries you risk, and all the things that happen to you. To play the game of football, because all they can see is the money. They don't see the sacrifice. And a lot of them are delusional. I'd have played for free if I'd have had that talent. No, you wouldn't have. If you're good enough to get paid to do something, you just don't do it for free.
Yeah, I really don't like this narrative that's out there that the players don't want to work. Trust me, if they're not at the facility today, they will be working.
Oh, there's no question.
These players,
there's no question.
This isn't a question of them wanting to sit around in their underwear and binge watch a TV show as opposed to working out. They will be working out. It's right. Just this is. They don't want to work out in this environment because they want to feel like they have some kind of power over their own destiny right now. Power that they haven't had for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one opportunity for them to flex their muscles. Meanwhile, NFL owners are like, all right, whatever. Okay, yeah. You go ahead. Hey, good win for you. Oh, you really got us on that one.
Right.
Oh, God. You're...
We're angry.
Oh,
players.
Oh, you got us. Let's get back to the negotiating table.
Right. Next time the collective bargaining agreement's up, we're going to take care of this workout thing that we do.
They're
sitting around. Yeah. Sipping cocktails right now, laughing.
Yeah.
But you go, players. You go. They can't even do a boycott the right way.
No.
Right? They can't even do a boycott the right way.
Not.
Can't even get everybody together on the same page for avoiding workouts in April.
Showing up in April unless there's a workout bonus. Put our foot down.
God. These players.
Unless I can get $60 to work out, then I'm coming in. But unless that happens.
All right. We got Sandy and Orlando. Like Sandy, you cannot manufacture desperation, right, Sandy? That's the heat.
No, you can. I wrote it down.
Yeah, you're right.
Write it down.
All right, Sandy and Orlando coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.